instalment of Money May 2013. Every Tuesday in May, you've been getting some top tips on how to manage your cash from our resident money man, Dave Penny, Managing Director of Invest Southwest. Now, Dave's been making sure we know how to make the most of what we got and possibly how we can get some more pennies in our pocket. This month, we've already talked about pensions, savings, investments and property. Today, we talk insurance. Morning, Dave.
Morning, Emma.
Now, insurance is the bane of my life because, like, you can insure for the wind-changing direction given half the chance, can't you?
Yes, if insurance men like myself had our way, you wouldn't be able to afford to do anything because you'd be paying for so many insurances.
Okay, so remind us, first of all, why we need insurance in general.
The simple reason is to share risk. If you imagine something bad happening and that causing you real trouble,
yep,
then if 1,000 people put some money per month into a pot, the pot of money is big enough to pay for if one of those 1,000 people has that thing happen to them.
But the other 999 have nothing happen to them.
Indeed.
And then they've put all that money in the pot.
Indeed, and you could say that then you're really, well, you're paying for nothing, aren't you? But what you are paying for, I mean, it's a real cliche, but you're paying for peace of mind.
Yeah, and that's the real strapline for insurance,
yes,
isn't it? So are there essential insurance policies that everyone should have? First of all, for your home, what's compulsory?
If you have a mortgage, yep, the mortgage lender will require you to have buildings insurance so that if you blow your house up, that they will have some money to pay off the mortgage.
Not contents,
not compulsory, no.
No.
Advisable, but not compulsory.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people don't realise that, because building and contents, although they come together under one policy usually,
yeah,
that for mortgage purposes, it's the building ones that...
Yes, and if you live in a flat, of course, Emma, usually buildings insurance is covered as part of the whole flat insurance,
okay,
the group insurance, so often you don't need building insurance in that case.
Cars, motor insurance, you've got to have that, haven't you?
It's the law, you
it
must.
Is the law.
Yes, absolutely, compulsory.
Okay, travel insurance.
Well, you know, now we're in the EU, if you travel around the EU, you have the right to a European health insurance card, which will give you free or very low cost treatment in hospitals and so on.
Yeah.
So you could argue that you don't necessarily need full travel insurance for travel in the EU. Outside the EU, yes, absolutely. It's vital to be able to pay for medical costs and repatriation if you're sick.
And we've heard nightmare stories of people travelling without insurance and
yes,
then being stuck either with a massive bill or unable to even to get home.
Yes, and of course, you can lose everything if you have to pay £500,000 medical bill.
Yeah. And what about these other insurances that you hear talked about a lot, but I'm never quite sure whether you should or shouldn't have them? So let's start with, like, life cover. Life is it assurance or insurance?
It could be both.
Okay,
yes.
What's the difference?
Insurance is covering for something which may happen.
Right.
And assurance is for something that certainly will happen. There will definitely be a payout.
Okay.
So
you definitely will die.
Well, yes, and you can cover yourself for the next 10 years, in which case it's insurance. If you cover yourself for the whole of your life, well, we know you're going to die at some point,
yep,
so then it's assurance.
Okay, I never knew the difference. So what about life cover? How important is that?
Well, it's about liabilities. It's about what would the catastrophe be if you died. So if you have a mortgage or lots of debt, money that you owe, or if you have people who rely upon you financially to live, for example, children, then yes, it's really important that you have life insurance to be able to provide some funds for those liabilities that rely upon you being alive. So it's as important as the problems that would be created by you dying.
Is it expensive, life insurance?
It doesn't have to be, no. If you shop around, I've got an example figure here where £200,000 worth of life cover for 20 years for a 35-year-old would cost £11 per month.
Mm.
A 45-year-old would be then £23 a month. The older you get, the dearer it is. But no, it need not be expensive.
I know it's something we've always done in our house, so that if one of us goes, that money would help pay off the mortgage if you wanted to, or do, you know, whatever you wanted with it, really.
Mm.
But we've mainly done it so that the mortgage is paid off, so
yes,
that one person left behind,
yes,
isn't liable for the mortgage.
And ask yourself, if I died or my partner died, would I be able to pay the mortgage and also live my life?
Yeah.
If the answer is no, you need insurance.
Income protection or sickness cover, what about that?
Yes, now, if you come back to the mortgage issue, lots of people have critical illness cover with their mortgages. It's often sold as a package, really, with life cover. actually what's better for people is usually is what's known as income protection or sickness cover. Critical illness pays out if you get a specific illness. So yep. If I get the right kind of cancer, my mortgage might be cleared. But it doesn't necessarily pay out in other occasions. You might have a back problem or stress and be unable to work, unable to pay your bills, but critical illness will not pay out. Mm. Income protection says if you can't work for whatever reason, if your doctor says you can't work, then you will have a replacement income until retirement or recovery or death, whichever is the sooner. So usually income protection is a better insurance to have, a bit more complicated and therefore not quite so widely discussed in my industry, but it's something which people should consider as an alternative to critical illness cover.
And critical illness cover itself, I looked into this once, and then I looked into the small print, and for me, there were too many loopholes. Mm. If I got blinded in one eye, they wouldn't pay out. If I got blinded in both eyes, they would.
Yes.
If I lost the use of one arm, they wouldn't pay out. If I lost the use of both arms, they would.
Yes.
And to me, it was there were just too many ways in which they could, like, but that yes. was quite a while ago.
I mean, the clue is in the name. It's critical illness cover. So it's specific illnesses that you need to get. And if you get the box ticked and you're, oh, I've got the right one, then it pays out. And back in the day, yes, certainly there were some quite nasty exclusions. Now the Association of British Insurers regulates this and makes the insurers cover all the big ones. Mm. So cancer, heart disease, multiple sclerosis, stroke, they're covered. But nonetheless, if you don't get the right one, then your mortgage will not be cleared. And if you can't work because of the illness that you have, then you can be in trouble. Actually, you could argue that sickness cover is it's more of a problem if you live than actually if you die. Mm. If something happens to you and you're incapacitated but alive, that's more of a problem than if you actually had died.
So the essential ones we talked about, like your buildings insurance and your car insurance, and travel if you go outside of the EU, otherwise you could come a cropper, essentials. But then these other ones, life cover, income protection, critical illness, a cover if you get made unemployed, that kind of thing. How do you work out whether it's worth doing those insurances?
Just think, if this event happened, would I be absolutely financially crucified, or my family be? And if it would be a dire consequence of the event happening, then yes, you should consider covering. But I'll give you a little trick, Emma, which can save lots of your listeners lots of money. And it's one of my, I'm going to flag it as being really exciting and original. But it's not.
Oh.
It's the usual same old dull thing I say, which is get yourself a good emergency cash reserve. Get some money in a bank account, preferably 6 months of outgoings. And then all of these insurances that you take out for insuring your washing machine or insuring against accidents or insuring water pipe insurance is a recent one, your mobile phone insurance, pet insurance, dental insurance, all of these things. If you had a pot of money for emergencies and then you put the premiums that you would have paid into those insurances into that pot, I would argue that for those kind of insurances, you'd never run out of money. And in fact, you probably have a big pot of money at the end.
You have to be fairly disciplined, though, don't you?
You do. Yes,
because,
you
know, you could have that emergency cash reserve, your rainy day fund, as people used to call it, I suppose. And, you know, if everything's been going along all fine, you think, oh, well, I'd like to change the car. I'll use my emergency cash reserve.
Yes.
Next thing you know, your four-legged friend needs an operation. It's going to cost you $2,000 and you can't afford it.
Indeed. And so the emergency cash reserve, you do need to think to yourself, honestly, how much do I or my family spend per month? And it could easily be, for the average family, £2,000 a month.
Mm.
Well, 3 or 6 months' worth of cover then is £6,000 or £12,000. So if you have that saved, then, and £2,000 is pretty expensive on a pet, I have to say, but nonetheless, if that expense arose, you would be able to afford it. And I'll tell you, when I was a student and I was heavily in debt, and I was heavily in debt for many years after I stopped being a student, it's a mindset being in debt. As soon as you get to the point where you've built up that cash reserve, it's a complete psychological shift, and you do what you can to make sure you can protect that. And it's a really great way of also stopping yourself getting in debt in other ways.
So is there another way of looking at it? Like, if you buy a washing machine and they say, oh, do you want to take out the insurance cover? Have you got to work out and think, right, okay, if my washing machine packed up, you know, in after the warranty, obviously, if my washing machine packed up in 2 years or whatever, could I afford to go and buy another washing machine? Is it that way of looking
at it? I think it is, absolutely, yes. You have to think, if the event occurred, the thing I'm insuring against occurred, would it cripple me financially?
If I drop my mobile phone down the toilet, could I afford to go and buy another one?
Indeed, and in fact, of course, if many people who have buildings insurance, their insurance will cover most eventualities with that phone.
Yeah.
And if it's £10 or £15 or £20 a month, some of these phone insurances, again, you get your emergency cash reserve built up and you pay that monthly money into that cash reserve, in 20 years, you'll have an enormous amount of money saved for anything going wrong.
We're talking about insurance on Money May with Dave Penny. Coming up, we'll talk about insurance policies that might be a waste of time and whether you should or shouldn't shop around and how much information you should hand over when you're applying for insurance. We're in the middle of the final instalment of Money May 2013. Our resident money man, Dave Penny, has been giving us some top tips over the last few weeks about managing our cash. Do you like talking to people about their money?
Do I like it?
Yeah.
I do, because it's complicated and it's ever-changing and you've never mastered it.
Who do you talk to about your money?
Oh, when I go home from work, Emma, I talk to nobody about my money. That's the last thing I want to do.
I wonder who does the financial advisor get financial advice from? That's what I wondered.
Well, it is a complex subject and we do subscribe to technical support firms who, if something comes along, and you've asked me a few difficult questions over the years, Emma.
Yeah.
If it's a difficult question, we have people we can go to for counselling.
Just thought I'd check. Okay, insurance we've been talking about this week. So we talked about insurances that are essential and how to view insurance as to whether you work out whether or not it's worth your while doing. Are there any insurance policies, in your humble opinion, Dave, that are a waste of time?
Well, I will mention some names, but I should say first that every one of these insurances I mentioned, there will be of your listeners who have claimed on it happily and who will be delighted that they have claimed on it. So
yep.
That's with the one proviso.
Okay.
And I would also say, I would repeat, if you have an emergency cash reserve that would cope with most of these eventualities, then I would argue these insurances are unnecessary. But here we go.
Okay.
Top of the list, payment protection insurance. We all heard about that.
Yeah.
It makes a 60% profit margin for the banks. It doesn't pay out very often. It's usually missold. So usually it's rubbish, you know, unless of course you're unemployed and you couldn't find work.
Do they still sell it even after all the hoo-ha?
Yes they do, because if someone's concerned about being made unemployed and they're not aware that they're going to be, but it might happen, then it could be a genuine cover. It's just mainly it was missold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the right kind of person, it's the right thing.
Okay.
Accident insurance gives the impression you've got £500,000 worth of insurance, but you've got to get a specific thing happen to you and it very rarely pays out. Hospital cash plans, you get £100 for being in hospital overnight. Nowadays, the hospitals boot you out with you. I had an operation in December on my shoulder. I was out of the hospital within half an hour. So you're never overnight. And do you need the £100? No, you don't. So a waste of money. Sofa insurance. Again, build up your emergency cash reserve.
Yep.
Don't waste your money on sofa and furniture insurance.
Get another sofa.
Indeed. A new one that recently was released was water pipe insurance.
You mentioned this earlier.
Yeah, that's some recent scandal where some of the water pipe providers are saying you need to insure your pipes. And for various reasons I won't go into, you usually don't need to.
But a magnet comes under your buildings, doesn't it?
Indeed. And you'll have some people listening possibly who have claimed successfully on this and will say it is invaluable to them. But again, you're usually covered elsewhere. Your home insurance should cover it.
Right.
And if you've got some money in the bank, you should be able to cope with that. Boiler insurance, washing machine insurance, mobile phone insurance, pet insurance. I mean, you mentioned the £2,000 bill.
That's a true story.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I met a man with a dog called Duke. He was a humongous Rottweiler. This was at the Kilmersdon Village Day. I'd never seen a Rottweiler so big. He was very handsome. He had a massive head. But he had, on one of his paws, he had two toes missing, and apparently he had cancer. This man said, I've never had pet insurance, he said, but it cost me £2,000 to have his toes amputated and all his treatment, he said, but I would have spent millions on him, he said, because I love him so much. But he said, you know, that's the chance you take when you don't have pet insurance. As long as you've got that money set aside,
indeed,
then you pay for it.
And if you haven't got it set aside and you do insure all these things that I've mentioned, you'd be spending a couple of £100 a month on insurance. It wouldn't be long, actually, before you would have that pot of money built up to cope with any of those eventualities. So it's a choice that you have to make. What I would say is get to understand fully what it is that you're insuring, what the cost is, and make an informed choice. Don't let a salesperson flog it to you there and then and make you feel pressured. If someone makes you feel pressured, then that your instant reaction should be, no, thank you, I'll think about it.
And that brings me on to my next question about when you apply for insurance, you have to be honest, don't you? Because if you are not, when it comes to making a claim, they'll have you.
Correct, yes. If you just say that you're a non-smoker and you apply for insurance, which is cheaper for non-smokers, and then you die or become sick and you need to claim, they'll find out that you are a smoker and it won't pay out. So it's a total waste of your money not to declare things which are relevant to the insurance policy. And again, in my industry, I'm afraid to say there are advisors who just want to get a nice clean application in, just nice, simple. You answer the questions, no, I've never had this, never had that. Get the application in, they get paid their money,
yeah.
And you think you have your insurance. But when you come to claim, it's not when you apply, it's when you come to claim, you'll find out they won't pay out. So do be honest. Tell the harsh, honest truth when you apply. It will serve you well in the future.
And what about shopping around every year? Please, Dave, not every year.
Listeners, if you could see Emma's face now.
I hate it.
I should say yes, shouldn't I? It's kind of yes and no. You know, I've always said to you, there's a well-known stat that if you spend an hour a month, 15 minutes a week, reviewing your finances and your budget, on average, people save £1,400 per year. £1,400. Some insurances, the premiums don't change. So your life insurance, critical illness cover, sickness cover, they won't change. Perhaps not so important. But things like car insurance and home insurance, it's an old trick to advertise a low cost this year, and then next year I'll bump it up, and you might not even notice unless you open your letter.
And the companies don't care that you only stay with them for a year, and you go away to another company, and then you go back the following year, and you get all the new offers again.
But 8 out of 10 people don't shop around, so they can put the premiums up, and they make their money on the lazy ones that don't open their mail.
I moan about doing it, but I do it. Yeah.
So, and one thing I should say is that since the Europeans have changed this gender directive, so if you're male or female, discriminating, there are some insurances now, particularly where I think you should shop around now. That's men for life cover, even car insurance has become cheaper, and annuities, and for women if you have sickness cover. Then whereas it was more expensive for you, it's now become cheaper since December 2012. So
shop
those
around.
Groups of people should shop around.
Dave, it's been brilliant. Thank you for Money May.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being part of it. Dave Penny, Managing Director of Invest Southwest, has been here throughout the month of May dispensing his money advice. If you have any questions for Dave, get in touch and I'll put them to him. He's never very far away.